to the Creative Pen Podcasts. I'm Joanna Penn, bringing you interviews, inspiration and information on writing, publishing options, internet sales and promotion for your book. The companion website is www.thecreativepen.com, and that's pen with a double N. And here's the show.
Hi everyone, I'm Joanna Penn from thecreativepen.com, and today I'm interviewing Anthony Putty. Anthony is a designer, co-author of the young adult novel Dream Raider, and founder of bookcovercafe.com. He specialises in helping authors with book cover design and also other aspects of marketing. So welcome, Ant.
Hey Jo, thanks for having me.
No, it's great to have you on the show. And, you know, for people watching or listening, we used to live in the same city and now we're on the other side of the world. So it's been a while.
Yeah, it has been a while. It's been good to catch up. Yeah.
So why don't you start by giving us a little bit more about your background in publishing and also in design?
Well, I started before Book Cover Cafe. I worked in the entertainment industry and television and design for about 10 years or so. And doing that type of work, I got to work on sort of different types of commercials and, advertising campaigns, doing lots of sort of design for flyers and all that kind of thing. Excuse me. And so probably for the last 6 years or so, I've been doing more publishing, and it kind of, my publishing journey really started when I began my own book with a co-author of mine, a partner of mine. And since then, learning a lot of the processes and having worked with a publisher, having dabbled doing some book covers and things, designs and stuff like that for other authors. Mm-hmm. Over the years, I've essentially been doing lots of consulting and book cover design for a lot of authors and things. And I thought, okay, and just as of last year, I thought, well, I'm going to finish up with the day job and then actually start doing this Book Cover Cafe design stuff and the publishing, consulting full time, because I was just enjoying it so much. It was just great just helping other people do their thing. So probably the last 5-6 years, I've been doing this after hours and on weekends and helping other authors out. And probably within the last 7 or 8 months, I've been working full-time helping authors get their books from manuscripts onto the shelves.
No, that's fantastic. And I really like it when people, you know, who start out with their own books then take it into a business, you know, similar to what I'm doing as well, because you know what everybody needs, and that's so important. So you've seen a lot of book covers, and, you know, it is important, and we do judge a book by its cover. And I wondered if you could start by going for what do people do wrong? Because, you know, there's so many things that are right. I think it's easier to say what is definitely wrong. Maybe you could give us some tips.
Yeah, sure. Well, book cover design is can be very subjective. So what one person thinks is great and it's awesome, someone else might think it's a bit average. So, but generally speaking, probably one of the things that self-published and independent authors get wrong is just having a lack of impact with their covers. So they don't necessarily draw the eye. They might sort of look a little washed out. There's nothing that stands out and grabs their potential readers, whether it be nonfiction or fiction. And it usually comes down to a couple of core things. And the first one would probably be the poor use of titles and typography. So sometimes it's usually too weak of a typography sort of selection, a font selection, and things like placement of the titles and their names, like the author name might be in Times New Roman, which is a very common font, and it will be very tiny, just down in the bottom corner of the book cover. And it's almost like there's a subliminal sort of shyness that sort of is portrayed that way. It's almost like the author doesn't have enough confidence to have their name big and bold and say, you know, I'm an author, I'm here playing the game for real, you know, you should pay attention to me, you know. So whether you're a fiction or non-fiction author, really sort of convey that sort of confidence being and a sort of a professional author that you want to be seen as. And it starts by simply something as simple as just having your name big and bold, just like with you do with your own cover, Joe. your name's nice and big, bold down the bottom there. It's strong. It's clearly seen and helps sort of balance the top and bottom of your cover. And that's great. And that's what some authors, I think, need to do more of. I think another one is probably clutter. There's too much stuff on the covers. And it kind of dilutes the message about what you're trying to say with the cover and trying to convey. So some authors, because they know their stories so well, they try and grab the main characters on there, and then they chuck in a sunset, and then there's the farmhouse, then you've got to have an ocean, and it's there's all this clutter, and it becomes noise, and it doesn't really... It really sort of confuses the eye, and you can't make out exactly a clear message or what the story is trying to say. So I would say to some authors, when they're considering their design, doing it themselves or going with a designer, and that is, can you come up with something that perhaps is a little bit more symbolic, that represents your story, that kind of beholds what the characters, the story of the characters throughout the book, why you're reading it, what motivates them, what's something that can encapsulate all that as part of your message on the cover. So it can be, and make that really strong. And I think if you can consider those two things, I think authors can go a long way with making a much better cover design.
Mm. Oh no, that's great. That's really good. And I totally agree with you on that clutter thing. I really hate those covers with so much on. So that's really good. So what about any kind of rules around genre? Because people say, oh no, you can just break the rules. But, you know, what are some of the issues around genre covers? And I guess we're talking fiction here. Oh no, there are rules for non-fiction too, I guess.
Well, there is, yeah. It's probably not so much hard and fast rules, but there's certainly some considerations sort of to keep in mind. And it comes down to what type of genre your book is and who your audience is and what they usually expect from their favorite genres that they read. So, for example, let's just take a sci-fi novel. If you've got a dark sci-fi novel, then you're going to be appealing to those the audience members that probably frequent Comic-Con and Supernova, and they love their comics and their sci-fi stuff. So they sort of have expectations of what a book is going to be convey, what it's going to kind of look like based on their interests. So let's use an example. So if you've got a book that's about the deep dark depths of space, then you're not going to have some pinks and sunsets on your cover, of course. You're going to be probably trying to convey the some of the horror and tension aspects with some dark colors, blacks and deep purples, deep reds. And these things help associate the tone of the book and the story that you have with simply using colors, just color use. For the font and typography, you'll be going for something that's probably a little bit more strong, a little bit more industrial. Perhaps something a little bit more chiseled, and to sort of convey that, you know, the sci-fi nature of your story. Something a little bit more of a contrast. If you've got, say, like a romance or a chick lit type of book, you'll be looking at typography that represents that really well. So if it's a fun, bubbly, girls hitting the street, you might have sort of a very elegant yet fun, curly type of font that tries to convey that message. So. And that, of course, you might have an accompanying image that says that as well. So together, they form a very strong message that it's probably a fun, bubbly, hip type of book for girls today, you know. So not so much hard and fast rules, but certainly just certain considerations and the type of message you're getting across and the genre and what represents that the best from M. That's probably what I would say is, as far as rules go, that's probably... what I would advise, keep in mind.
And I think those, you know, as writers, we have to stick to some rules in the genre as well. So I don't think that's a big deal. Now, you brought up an interesting point there, you know, about finding fun, bubbly fonts. Is this a particular software you use, or do you just read a whole load of font magazines, or, you know, where do you find this information if people want to do it themselves?
Oh, well, I think... You can probably have a look at other covers and books out there and seeing what they're doing. So you could probably get a handful of romance novels and see there's probably some sort of consistent element with the type of fonts used, as far as being, you know, type of calligraphy fonts, very elegant looking fonts. And I think that probably the important thing is ask yourself, okay, this seems to suit the cover really well. It has a very romantic and elegant sort of feel about it. Why is that? What aspects of this cover makes me feel that way? Why do I get that impression? And if you can sort of break it down with a couple of examples like that, that will probably help just train your eye and start to identify what you'll need to do for your own book. As far as fonts go, there are websites that you can actually get fonts from. Fonts.com and 100freefonts.com. There's quite a few of them out there. Some are free. You can get quite far with some free fonts. If you're looking for something more specific, then you can be paying for fonts that are $20 or $30. So it's not really that big a deal if it's just a one-off book cover. It's a product you're creating. So if it's something that's going to create more of a unique look, then it's probably well worth its weight in gold. Yeah.
No, that's fun. Okay, so I'm also interested in the idea of doing a series. So I'm writing my second book now. When I did the cover with another guy, Joel, for the first book, I didn't really know I was going to write a series, so I didn't really think about that. So, and I know you wrote a blog post on this recently. So can you give us some guidelines around series covers?
Well, series covers, you're probably looking at what elements of the covers that you can use to tie the series together. So is there any sort of consistent themes or images that are throughout the whole books in the series that you can extrapolate and use on your cover design? So on a recent blog post that I recently wrote on my website, Book Cover Cafe, I gave some examples of series, and one of them was the Diary of a Wimpy Kid book series, the popular bestseller. And it's a great example because everyone can see clearly what's being used as far as tying that series together. So each book has the main title, which is the same sort of type of font, and it's absolutely recognizable, and that carries across all the books. But each of the book is distinguished on its own by simply having a different color for that chapter, that volume. So that's something you can consider as well. So for a book, say, like Pentecost and your next book, Prophecy, I believe, you might sort of think about, well, is there a symbol or some sort of rune or some sort of element that's consistent throughout the series? Is there a particular stone or there's an element that you can sort of extrapolate and somehow put into your cover, whether it's on the spine, the front cover, and the back cover, that's consistent throughout the series? And that's something you could probably consider as well. Maybe you sort of, with Pentecost, and you're sort of taking across the same type of font across the different titles, you could do that as well. So that's some things. You've also got the nonfiction. You've got the branding books like the Dummies Guides. They're probably they're very clear examples of black and yellow going across all the series. Like, they're unmistakable, those books. And if you can create a cover that's that creates very sort of identifiable elements, then you're halfway there, and that's actually part of your branding there as well. So I would consider just thinking about if there's any consistent themes running throughout the book, see how you can graphically represent them on your series. Maybe you've got a different sort of action set piece in each of the books, and that perhaps is one of the defining elements of that particular book, and yet you've got similar colors though for the cover. So that's just like an example as well.
We do often see, so I went to a bookstore the other day, and China Mieville, who's like a sci-fi spec fic author, they'd re-released all his books with new covers. So people shouldn't be scared to re-release books with new covers, should they? I mean, that can be a rebranding.
Exactly. Well, with ebooks now and being able to upload yourself through the Amazon DDP and the likes of Smashwords and CreateSpace Lightning Source, you have the opportunity to create a second or third edition, or simply just creating a new cover for your book. You have that freedom. That opportunity is there. It's now there today for authors. It's awesome. It wasn't there just a couple of years ago. So, if you find that you're getting feedback from readers that this particular cover didn't quite convey the message of the story that they thought they were going to be reading, even though they enjoyed the book, maybe you can sort of take that comment, go, thank you very much, and use that to sort of, well, how can I improve the cover? What would you have expected to see on the cover to help sell the idea of the story to you a little better? And you can use that type of thinking to help fix your book up and create a new sort of book cover for it. And of course, another great example is the longer books have been out, the more people sort of have read them, the more opportunities you have to get book reviews for your books. And of course, you want to be able to put those on your book cover too. On, especially on the back cover, you know, you could do that too. So of course, that's another reason to make the most of the opportunity and update your book cover with simply some new blurbs and reviews, testimonials. And while you're there, if you can change and craft the cover, hey, you know, do that too.
That's
as long
great.
As you don't clutter it.
Yes, no cluttering. Yeah. But no, testimonials on the back cover of a print book, that's an excellent idea. So let's just talk about the difference between ebooks and print, because clearly, you know, when I, for example, I buy 99% on the Kindle now, and when I browse, I'm browsing a tiny, tiny little cover, you know, although I still browse in bookstores, but I buy on the Kindle. So what do we have to consider with ebook covers?
Ebook covers. It's got to stand out. You've got to make that impact. So big, bold titles and text is what you want to sort of be focusing on, because it needs to be readable. If you've got a couple of blurbs on the front cover that aren't quite readable, well, that's okay. But absolutely, your title needs to be seen. And when it comes to thumbnails, like on the Amazon store that you see, then color plays a huge part as well. And I think if you can sort of, whether it's a print book or an ebook, if you can give something like what I call the glance test, that if you can just, you know, have a glance at an image and then look away, but you can kind of distinguish what the book is, whether it's simply a dark sort of creepy book and you can't quite make out, you know, the words and stuff. But if you have an idea of what that book was about, then that gives you a good idea that you're on the right track for it to being able to sort of stand out. And I do that with print books too. So if you can sort of give the thumbnail the glance test and then look at a bigger version of it, and you can immediately sort of say, yes, that's the same cover in the same book, then you're on the right track for having that thumbnail work. And that's usually got to do with having the author name be quite big and the title stand out and be readable with an identifiable color. That helps. Yeah, absolutely.
That's good.
It's worth sort of considering having the thumbnail, but still making sure it works as an A3 poster as well. If you are doing actual offline events, going to expos and book signings, you know, some people are still doing these. And for those doing nonfiction books, doing speaking engagements and going to seminars and conferences is probably still a really big deal. So it does need to sort of work on both levels. Yeah. So that's just something to sort of keep in mind. Yeah.
Fantastic. Okay, so if people want to DIY, I mean, you know, people are still doing this themselves. How can they actually do that? I mean, do they go on to a package on their laptop, or you know, how can they do this themselves?
I think to do something that would be usable on your, as far as your book goes, and actually wanting to feel comfortable sticking on the bookstore site, you probably want something a little bit better than, say, your normal Windows Paint program. It's not going to give you the flexibility that you need to simply just move around some font types and things. So you can get your stock footage. You can find some great images on iStockPhoto, and there's a few of those different stock sites out there, and they start from anywhere from a couple of bucks, you know, upwards. And search and certainly go about finding which sort of main elements. It comes back to knowing how you can best represent your story as simply as possible, and what sort of images and elements can you find that do that. So most of the time actually is actually spent finding the right images, finding those right elements and the right font that is going to work for your cover. And that probably often takes more time. I've even found for clients that aspect of the project takes more time than actually putting the cover together itself, you know. You can pick up sort of photo editing software, of course, things that are going to give you a little bit more flexibility with layers and image editing. So something like Photoshop Elements, it's probably just like a couple hundred bucks. But if you intend on doing your cover and you're really serious about it, it might be worthwhile. If you're looking at doing a whole bunch of series of books of your own, then, of course, you can use that same software for all your book covers. So if you're selling all those books and doing quite well, even just modest sales, you'd probably pay for that software, you know, twice over. Mm-hmm. So if you're really keen on doing it yourself, that's an option. I think there is a free piece of software called GIMP. I think at GIMP.org. It's like a Photoshop type of software. It is free, but there is a steep learning curve for those that aren't familiar with imaging software. So you've got lots of layers, lots of options, and lots of tools. So give it a shot. I mean, those people that can't afford to get a designer for a couple hundred bucks, certainly you can get that GIMP software. Just be prepared. There's a little bit of time at the start to learn, be familiar with the software before you can start creating something. If you try and dive in straight away and try and create something straight away, you're probably going to get a little bit frustrated not being able to get the results straight away. So just keep that in mind, I would say, yeah.
Mm. No, that's good. And as somebody who gets frustrated quite easily, I've tried GIMP and gave up because it was too hard. Maybe you could talk about how the process works with a designer. So if someone does engage you or someone like you, how does the process work? I mean, they don't just say, hello, give me a cover, and you give them a cover.
No, it doesn't work that way. Well, first off, usually you want to supply the designer as much information as you can. So it might be sort of a blurb and synopsis of your story. Any ideas that you have as far as what you think will best represent your story. And of course, certain elements you're willing to sort of include in the cover that you absolutely want in there, things that you're happy to let the designer come up and just be creative with. So first off, it's usually just your blurb, the type of fiction, obviously if it's a fiction or non-fiction book, who is your audience. And quite often the designer will help you sort of really sort of nut out the real intricacies of who you're really aiming at, what's going to sort of be appropriate and the best colors to use, that kind of thing. And then usually once you're happy and you sort of set up a project and you're working with your designer, they'll come up with usually, say, probably two or three designs and which are considered drafts. Based on the information that you've given them. And any reference is always helpful. If you've got other book covers out there, some favorites that you have, they work great. If some of the ones that have the same flavor and tone that you like, that you would like to sort of convey in an original and fresh way, of course, that helps too. And I often don't limit people to other book covers as well, because you don't want to start creating the same thing over and over again. Mm. And I recently just had an email come through for someone asking that exact thing. It's like it's a romance novel, and they gave me a swatch of about 20 different book covers. And she said, all these book covers are practically the same, with a couple on the front. One, you know, the guy's got his shirt off. He looks great. He's buff. Her hair's back. It's blowing in the wind. And it's pretty much the same type of thing over all the covers. She said, well, I want to convey that intimacy and that passion, but I want to try and come up with something more unique and different without having the same perfect-looking couple on the front cover. So that was something we started to explore. So that was great reference. That was a great thing to say what she didn't want. And then she gave me a couple of examples of the type of different types of covers that she would like to try and explore. And I thought, you know, that's fantastic. That's great. And also movie posters and covers are great too, because in this day and age, we're all very much into our iPods and YouTube and movies and even book trailers now, as they start to become a little bit more popular into the future, a lot of motion video. So movie trailers are a little different to book covers. And not that I'm saying you want to do a movie trailer for your book cover, but you can certainly get some inspiration, some ideas from even just movie posters and things as well, as far as conveying a subtitle, color use, that type of thing. Because designers have very sort of similar sensibilities from book covers to movie posters. So, I mean, you can use that as well.
Mm. So once that's all done, you actually give people the file, don't you, to upload onto CreateSpace or Lightning Source or one of these other, you know, print-on-demand packages. I mean, you actually give people print-ready file.
Yeah, that's right. So as part of the project setup, you'll also be required to deliver what type of printer you're using. So if you're using CreateSpace, Lightning Source, or a local printer to you that you plan on doing some books with, then yes, getting a template off that printer is great, and that's what we use to as a guide. So for a print book, that factors in the spine width that you need to consider as well. For ebooks, not really so much, because it's just the one front cover, of course. Usually we'll give you a few drafts. You see which cover design versions that you like. You might want to mix and match a bit, and that's fine too. Then once we've finally come up with the complete cover and you're happy with it, then that is then exported in usually it's a PDF file, and that is the file you can upload directly that's ready to go to your desired printer that you want. Yeah.
Mm.
And designers, most often than not, don't hold the rights to your cover design. So once you've bought that cover design, you're simply paying for the service and that's it. So you get your finished product and the rights are yours as well.
People are wondering, what type of price range are we talking about? Can you give us a sort of ballpark for ebook versus print book? You know, what should people be looking for? Obviously not like $20.
No, it's you're probably looking upwards of a reasonable. A lot of cover designers are different where they do it and where they price it, but I would say upwards of about $200. You're looking at them. That might be sort of like an e-cover or a print cover. Print cover packages sometimes come with your ebook cover as well, so you're getting the two product covers for the price of one. So I would say upwards of probably say $200, depending on what you want, whether or not you want print and an ebook or just an ebook. If you want just the ebook, it's probably going to be a little cheaper than the print book too. So it depends on what you're looking at. If you want more drafts to choose from, then it requires a little bit more time on the designer, but you get a lot more choice and probably narrow down a design that you really like, eliminating some of the other possibilities. And of course, that might be a little bit more money as well. But I would say upwards of about $200. If you allow that, then that'll probably be enough to get you in the game with a designer, professional designer, to work something, to work some magic. Yeah.
Mm. Yes, I would say probably between 200 and 500, depending on.
Yeah, that's probably the most popular sweet spot for authors. Yeah. Anything above that is usually probably a custom quote, and for those going for more of a custom drawn, painted sort of artwork, especially for like fiction novels, if they've got a specific image in mind that they want, then that takes a particular type of artist to then go ahead and create and paint that picture, and then that's given to the designer to then incorporate into the cover. Not as commonplace now, but every now and then there's some people that have that money that are, and they want something really specific. They won't budge from it, but they're happy to pay for it. So hey, you know, that's cool. If that's what they want, that's cool.
Mm. Isn't that what you did for Dream Raider? You did something quite special.
I did that. The Dream Raider cover is. If I can find it. Cool. Yeah. So that cover there, Dream Raider cover, that's my own personal book I've done with a co-author, a friend of mine, Kev. And that's a young adult novel that I actually painted up myself. So as far as actually another author probably paying for something like that, it's probably quite expensive. Mm. You're probably looking upwards of about probably, you know, $700 to $1,000 because it's all hand painted and done. Mm. Because being my own book, obviously I was able to put a little bit more time into it. Of course,
it is awesome, and I've seen it on big posters, and it looks good.
It's very effective. It's very effective, and we've had great feedback from it as well, and we've had quite a few stores want to sort of hold posters as well because it's really effective, and then expos and things will set up the stand so all the green essentially shows off, and it just draws so many people. So now with our second book coming out in November, I've got to try and do that again for the second book and try and have it be as effective. So I've kind of set the bar really high for myself on this one. So that's a little daunting, but as an example, as far as the branding in the series goes, the second book's going to be a different color. Mm. And then the third one, and there's four in the series. So we're using a different color for each one. Mm. Yeah. So that's an example of that. So this particular one, obviously green, then it's red and so forth. So, but yeah, so if someone wants to pay for something like an actual handcrafted design like that, you're probably looking at a space between $700 to say $1,000 because it's all hand done. It's just the time it takes to handcraft something like that. Yeah.
Yeah. Now I know you are very enthusiastic about this whole process. Maybe you could leave us with some exciting words about the future of publishing.
Future of publishing? Well, I think, as you know, Joe, now is probably the most liberating and opportunity-driven time that you can potentially be an author. I mean, you don't have to sign the big contracts anymore to get into bookstores. You can get access direct to these distributors without having a middleman there taking a cut of your pie, and your hard-earned pie too. So what I wanted to do with Book Cover Cafe is offer these professional services that you would otherwise get at, say, like a trade publisher, including editing, and have it just as like an a la carte business services. So if you want great editing, here you go. You want a great cover, here you go. But you have the rights and as the author and publisher to then go off and just, you know, blaze some trails, you know. So I think I would probably, if you spend any money, just probably if you can spend any money at all, it's probably editing and cover design is probably the two biggest factors as far as creating a good book product. So the cover draws everyone in, and then the editing is obviously the inside and the quality of the book. So I see so many people complain about the editing of a lot of independent and self-published authors' books. So definitely focus on that if you can. But I think a lot of people, it's like a lack of confidence. They don't quite know where to start. I say, don't be afraid to ask questions. You know, I really encourage questions on the Book Cover Cafe Facebook wall, and I'll answer them right then and then. I check it every day. And emails, I'm happy to answer emails too. One of my biggest motivators is helping people get out of a few traps. And I've heard some great horror stories about authors getting ripped off by thousands of dollars and getting work back that is still not publishable as far as editing and book cover design. And it's just like, if you'd only come and saw me first, I could have helped you out and saved you money But I try and help them out anyway. You can't kind of change that situation, but you help them out and you get them to where they want to go. And I get a great buzz out of that. So I think before you get going, ask all the questions you can. Don't be afraid to ask questions. Do what research you can as well. Give it a shot and give it a crack. I mean, you get published, you get your book out there, you make 100,000 sales, you make 10 sales. But you can't make any sales unless you get your book out there. And I would just be prepared to do a little bit of work in order to do your marketing and promotion. That's going to take a little bit of time. But if you love it and you've got a great product and you've got a great product that you can confidently sell, then you're going to have a much better time getting your book out there. You're going to have more fun. And that's what's going to keep you going.
Find you online.
Well, if they want to catch up and ask any questions, they can catch me at bookcovercafe.com. They can also find me on Facebook and on Twitter as well. And by all means, like I said on the Facebook wall, ask any questions, say hi. I'm happy to help out in any way possible. Every week there's some free articles that go up on the website too that have proven to be quite popular as well. So it's those are there to simply help people and answer a lot of these questions that I get on a day-to-day basis.
Brilliant. Well, thanks ever so much for your time, Ant.
No problem, Joe. Anytime. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for listening today. I hope you found it helpful. You can get more information on writing, publishing options, sales, and promotion for your book at www.thecreativepen.com, and that's pen with double N. And you can also get your free How to Be an Author workbook at www.howtobeanauthor.com. See you next time!